Dan Hotzenpiller is here. Good morning, Dan. Yeah. Happy New Year.
Yes. Good morning to you, Dan, and Happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
2017.
I know. Here we go.
So how long are you, do you have a new term starting now?
Actually, I do, and that it starts Tuesday. So for a couple more days here, another week, I'm on the old term, and then we all get sworn in again Tuesday morning. I think that's the 10th of January. So, okay. Yeah, a new term coming up. So,
all right. Any pomp and circumstance, or is it pretty dry?
Pretty dry. That'll be getting into a courtroom as early as a judge will let us, so we can put the right hand up and swear our oaths, and which is important. Mm-hmm. And everyone in my office has to do it again, and that's important. And then, but that allows us to then get on with the work of the day, so and the work of the next term. So, yeah.
So we've 2016 is in the book.
It's in the books, and we finished really strong. And I think that's an indication that we, for a while now, have really been back to doing some effective work. And that was what I wanted to do primarily when I got in office in the first place, is really restore our ability to effectively prosecute people around here. And we've been doing that. November and December were some pretty strong months down in Durango. And I know that's not our district, but it took a lot of my time. We got a 51 years to life sentence out of that sex assault homicide case that I had to personally try twice, once in June and once in September in Durango as a special prosecutor. So we got a sentence on the 19th of December, just before Christmas, of 51 years to life for that guy, one of those guys. A good result there.
Where did the crime occur?
That occurred actually in Durango, in the town of Durango, in the Spanish Trails Inn and Suites there, long time ago. And then it got reversed on appeal. And the DA that's down there now actually represented one of the people involved. And so they couldn't prosecute the case, and we got assigned to the case. And so that took a lot of time and a lot of effort. And that was hard to be gone from the district, gone from my office, gone from my family. But, that was 4+ weeks of trial, a lot of prep. An old case occurred in June of 2007. And we had to go down there and retry a sex assault homicide case, a bad case. Mm. Got a good result, though, and we got the right result. Locally, we've done some good stuff. We got a conviction up in Delta of a really nasty domestic violence case. Mr. Melvin Randall has been sentenced to prison for 8 years on that case, causing almost put his victim in a coma. She had to go into an induced coma. She barely lived. Importantly, in that case, our plea agreement allowed the judge to sentence him up to 16 years. Judge determined 8 years was the sentence he wanted to do, but that means we're doing some good stuff.
Was he married?
He was, not really. They were together for a long time, had a couple of kids together. An interesting case, this woman had actually fled from Virginia to get away from him. She'd been involved in this abusive relationship for a long time. And Virginia authorities back there, he just really hadn't been real responsive, hadn't been able to put cases together. One of them was pretty bad. He actually had drilled a hole in the floor of their mobile home that they lived in and entered their house, the house she was living in, up through the floor. This was back in Virginia, beat her up. So this relationship had gone on for a long time. And she moved to Delta to try to escape him. And through the kids, he got her address. And one of the boys communicated with him. He ended up moving in right across the street from her in Delta, Colorado. And then one day, a couple years ago, just beat her up to the point where she was bruised so bad, her body, trying to cope with the bruising, actually put her into a coma. And she managed to survive. We had to relocate her. We had to actually house her in another state, Dan, after the event. To get her away from him, and it was a pretty nasty case. So. Really pleased with a lot of work into that case and a good result there.
Wait, she survived?
She survived, yeah. Touch and go there. It was pretty incredible. He knew where to beat her. It was all on the trunk. You know, there was nothing on the face, nothing on the extremities, so nobody would see it. And so those are difficult cases. We forget sometimes, you know, domestic violence really does end up in some horrific cases.
You know, I got a guy coming in, a commentator coming in, writer and ex-law enforcement guy, Bob Cox. I remember Bob told me one day, he was in the courtroom, a guy in cuffs, crazy man, turned around, looked over at him and said, threatened him, said, I will get you, I will kill you.
Yeah.
One day. I know you see the ugly side of a lot of things. Do attorneys get that too?
You know,
I know police officers do.
Police officers do on a regular basis. I mean, it's amazing what they have to put up with out there. Threats to themselves, their wives, their children. You know, people constantly saying, I know where you live. I know who your children are. I know all, you know, and I'm going to get you. We've had it happen for sure in courtrooms. I've had it happen to me. Not as often because you're in a courtroom setting.
First of all, the bailiff is right there.
The bailiff's right there. The judge is there. So it doesn't happen as often. Mm-hmm. In fact, more often than not, actually, I've had defendants come up to me and say thank you later, including defendants. Absolutely. Including defendants that have been sentenced to prison in cases that I was involved in and we sentenced them to prison because they've come up to me later and said thank you. What you did changed my life, saved my life. I mean, people don't hear that side of things, you know. And
that's
I've
pretty
had
gratifying.
That, yeah, I've had letters from people in prison. I've had personal contact from people as well as letters who said thank you. You know, now that starts, I think, with we always treat people with fairness and dignity in a courtroom. You know, no matter what they've done. I mean, that's really important. That doesn't mean we don't land hard blows and we don't call what they did. But there's a way to do it.
They're human beings.
They're a human being.
Right. So there's a certain dignity you got to.
Right. And I think that's the only way that you actually can make the kind of change that I've seen and where people will actually come up to you and say, thank you. I had an occasion. I was out at Alcatraz. And we toured Alcatraz, and there was a guy there that had been a prisoner in Alcatraz. He'd written a book. I bought his book and read his book. It's a great book. And I think it's like the book is like Prisoner Number 1789 or something like that. I can't remember what his number was. And he was one of the last two surviving Alcatraz inmates. And he was on the island and got a chance to talk to him for a little bit. I told him I was a prosecutor and he remembered what the prosecutor had told him when he was sentenced. And he said that had made a difference in his life. And he told me, I don't remember who my defense attorneys were, but I remember that prosecutor turned to me and said, good luck. You can do better than you're doing. He remembered that, but he didn't remember, you know, the defense attorneys that he had in his life. Colorful character.
Probably hadn't been told that in decades.
Yes, you're exactly right. Tough life, raised by his grandma. Mom and dad kind of kicked him out, you know, and his grandma then died. And so he was kind of on his own from like 12, then moved in with a stepdad and mom, but, you know, it was pretty rugged. And this was a long, long time ago. Things were really different. But yeah, so, you know, we can make a difference.
Well, every Western, I watch a lot of Westerns, or I have, you know, and there's always a judge, or in High Noon, Gary Cooper's character is a law enforcement guy. You know, he's, when so-and-so gets out of jail, they're coming for you.
Yeah.
A lot of Westerns are based on that plot.
Yeah.
I'm talking with Dan Hotzenpiller, 7th Judicial District DA. We're talking about some cases that have been wrapped up.
Yeah, so we had a couple of vehicular homicide and vehicular assault where people have been drunk and driving and causing mayhem out there. One of those, we got a 6-year sentence to community corrections for. This was a guy, really a horrible case, was driving on the wrong way on South Townsend there between the Ute Indian Museum and Target and Oxbow there. Driving on the wrong way, wrong side of the highway, going the wrong way, and just creamed a motorcycle coming the opposite way. And the motorcyclist survived. Tremendous, horrible injuries to his hands and arms and other parts of his body, and really has taken him out of being able to work. He was a chiropractor.
I remember that.
No longer can work. And has a family and really been devastating for them. We asked for a prison sentence in that case. The judge put him for 6 years in community corrections. So a significant sentence. We were disappointed we didn't see a prison sentence there. My belief is, and my policy is, on those kinds of cases, drunk driving causing injury, we will never take prison off the table. We're going to fight to put those people in prison. They're going to face prison if as long as I'm in office. We had another one, a guy that stole that Hot Water Productions truck and crashed into a house. Lucky that the two kids weren't very seriously injured. He did go to prison for 4 years. He faced up to 6 years under our agreement, and he got a 4-year sentence to the Department of Corrections. So you can kind of see a pattern here. We're getting good deals, and we're going in telling these judges, tee it up. Let's send these people where they need to be.
So could he get out early?
Of course. You know, this system is pretty crazy, Dan. The correction side of the house here needs some real attention. People get credits, and I understand why they have to get credits. You have to do that, or you cannot manage your prison population. You have to give these guys some incentive to behave. But there's a real problem with how quickly people are getting out. In my view. So we need to reform that. We need to totally reform parole. Parole needs to change. So that it's more effective. And you talk to parole officers and they'll tell you that.
Years ago, I don't know if I hear it, I haven't heard it recently, but I know in the 90s I would hear politicians expressing, you know, stating their platform, and you would often hear politicians utter truth in sentencing.
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about here?
In part.
Okay.
Yeah. And, the problem is that it's really difficult because, again, you do have to build incentives in for these prisoners. And what we need to have, we need to have a system that really works based on offenders' conduct for appropriate offenders. I mean, some offenders need to be incarcerated for a long, long period of time, in my opinion. And that's what we're going to work for. There are other offenders, particularly substance abuse and those kinds of things, where we should be looking at a system where we're monitoring them closely, we're supervising them closely after they've done prison. And that's what it's just really hard to do. Of course, it takes a lot of resources too. So, hey, the other big story in 2016, though, for us is another 11% jump in felony cases in Montrose, Dan. I know that's significant. We're up to 398, almost 400. We were at 358 in 2015. Oh, that's 11% increase. That's a significant number.
Montrose proper?
Montrose County.
Montrose County.
Yeah, not the city, but Montrose County only. That's not district wide. I haven't looked at those numbers yet. I don't have those numbers yet, but I looked up our felonies in Montrose. We looked that up yesterday because I wanted to have that information. So,
woo, that's a spike.
It is a spike. And that was, we were short-staffed a lot of last year. That number probably should have been higher if we would have had full staff and been able to get on some of the other filings that we just couldn't get to be honest. I hate saying that, but that's the reality. We were so short-staffed. There was stuff sitting in our inbox for too long, and some of those have to go by the wayside. So,
what do you attribute the spike to?
You know, it's really hard for me to know. I think there's just more activity here. I think we all see it. There's more people here. There's more activity here. Things are going on again. I think we have effective police agencies, and I'm glad for that. But I do really believe that police activity is important. And when you don't have that, you really do see an impact. Like we've seen that in Delta, where they've really had a struggle at their Delta Police Department and things like that. We really see an impact on our numbers. We haven't had that. You know, we're short-staffed over at Montrose PD, and they're working on that. But I've seen some great enforcement effort out of the sheriff's office. Olathe has a new chief. So a little of it's that, but I think it's just generally there's more people here, more activity. Mm-hmm.
I think there will be some relief due to, as we go forward with more robust free enterprise economic activity. I mean, in the 90s, the USA sort of got away from being a manufacturing hub. People need jobs. And a job, it gives a man and a woman some dignity. We were talking about dignity earlier.
Yeah.
But it's the only way, you know, your labor, working, you feel better about yourself, less idleness. When I was in high school, the wrestling coach, after football season, he said, "Danny, you going off for wrestling?" I said, "Heck no." He said, "It'll keep you out of trouble."
Yeah.
But there was wisdom there.
Yeah.
Idleness leads to sin.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I recall our conversation a month ago about community corrections and Tyson Berry talking about how much they work to connect employers and those clients at community corrections, and what a difference he sees when he sees these guys get jobs, and how important our community support has been to be willing to step up and employ these guys. Absolutely. Personal worthwhile. Yeah. I mean, personal worth. It makes such a huge difference.
And breadwinning jobs would be nice.
Yeah, no kidding.
Not, you know, working at the dollar store. And I like the dollar store, and I go to the dollar store. But, you know, there's not a lot of growth at a dollar store. I mean, these people need growth, and they need jobs that pay a livable wage.
Right. Right, and jobs that they see a future in, jobs that they feel good about performing, you know, whether that's building a house, you know, finishing a concrete sidewalk or driveway, whatever it may be.
You know, they make all these things. These iPhones and droids are made overseas.
Yeah.
It would be nice. You know, I drive through Delta. Why can't there be a factory in Delta that makes these things?
Yeah,
or I toys. So, anyway. Yeah. Delta is a lovely little town, but there are no jobs.
Yeah. Delta's got, and they're working on it. They are actually, there's a group that's really trying to come up with a forward-looking plan of how do we move forward with the disruption of the coal mines, you know, and no matter what, that's going to be a long-term issue for them. So, but there's some great things going on there too. It's just going to take some time. But here we see a lot of economic activity. The good part of that is, like you say, job opportunities, employment opportunities. The bad side is there's a lot more people here, and for whatever reason, man, they're committing 11% more felonies in my county this last year. So,
well, okay, population has gone up in Colorado,
right? Significantly.
I don't know what it's done in the county.
I think it's growing. Yes.
Dan Hotzenpiller is here. Hey, if you have a question for Dan, 249-5800, 249-5800. Dan recently just began posting the conversations we have to his website, too. So if you want to hear it again, you can go to their website for the 7th Judicial District.
Yeah, please do. We're also putting up a lot more information about the cases that are happening so that people can see what we're doing. There's also a lot of information about our office there. So we're working on keeping that a current and really a valuable resource. We did get a drug offender this year, too, and he got sentenced to another 8-year term in the Department of Corrections. There's another case, Dan, where we had a plea agreement that would have allowed the judge to sentence him up to 16 years. This is a guy that got found with 2 pounds of meth right here in Montrose. And so we got a result out of that case. Again, we were arguing for a significantly longer prison sentence than the 8 years imposed. But, you know, we were giving the judge the opportunity to sentence this guy up to 16 years, and we were arguing for that. We're getting the kind of results we need to get is the point.
Hi, you're on with Dan Hotzenpiller. Hello.
Okay.
You dropped out there for a second. You said ask him.
Yeah, ask him about prosecutorial discretion.
Prosecutorial discretion.
Yeah. Well.
Okay.
You'll understand.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Dan, you got about a minute. Go ahead.
Great. Well, I mean, that's what I get elected to do is use my discretion, make judgments, and do what I can. But I think I understand what the caller's saying. And look, I need to be guided by ethical guidelines, not by some kind of political outcome I want to find or, gee, I'm looking for a headline. You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so what we do and what I say to my troops is you follow the law and you follow the evidence. And then you give it we let judges decide what to do with these offenders too. And that's hard because sometimes we want a better sentence. But my job is not to do the outcome. My job is to hold people accountable when they violated the law, not to decide which laws I like, which ones I'm going to enforce, which offenders are my friends, or anything like that.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You bet, Dan. Thank you.
Dan Hotzenpiller, Happy New Year to you. Here's hoping the Cubs win the World Series. News is coming up from ABC.